You are now experiencing
right
the
word,
ministry of Pastor Richard Martin.
Say this with me, I have the one life. My life matters. So today, I will grow. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles to two texts of scripture. We are in a series, and I don't know how we ended up here, but we're here. I titled the first message, which was supposed to be a one or maybe a two-shot, called The Message That Will Change Your Life. And we have been discussing and we've been talking about this issue of what Jesus did for us. Our foundational scripture found in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he bore our sicknesses, not diseases, and our grief, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we all, being familiar with this text of scripture, understand that we pull out of it the aspect of our physical healing, that there is a divine, there's a divine covering for the child of God per God's purpose in our lives, that we would walk in divine healing in our natural bodies. Amen. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't be attacked. This doesn't mean that we won't go through some things, because it is the going through things that we can attest to God being God. Yeah, y'all hear what I'm saying to you? That when we fall sick, as many of us have in times past, that we make a decision and we choose to walk according to God's word and testament instead of a man's word and testament. Yeah. But we've been in this process of this message that'll change our lives. We came to an understanding as we dug deep in the text that he wasn't just talking about our physical healing, yeah, but in fact that he was dealing with us as a total person. That there is an aspect of our emotional healing that God also covered for us. That we no longer have to deal with and accept stress, frustration, anger, bitterness, resentment, anguish of our souls. We don't have to accept it, because not only did he die for our physical healing, but he also died for our emotional healing. And then that not only did he die for those things, the stress, the anger, the resentment, the frustration, all of the pain that we experience emotionally, not only did he die for it, but he also died for the causes of those things. Which leaves us with, as children of God who confess Jesus, who did this for us as our Lord and Savior, we have now but no choice but to accept what he has done and walk in what he has done for us. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have an option to be mad. You don't have an option to be stressed. You don't have an option to be frustrated. You don't have an option to be depressed. And in Jesus' name, you will not. Amen. Some of y'all looking at each other and y'all smiling like, did you mean what you said? Because God means what he says. God means what he says. And then when he declares something, it is. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. Whether we believe it or not, it is. We also learned that through this experience, that the scripture says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, that he accepted those bruisings and all of the things naturally, physically, for our physical health, for our physical healing, and for our emotional health and healing. He did those things, but he also dealt with the things that would hinder us. That word chastisement translates the hindering or the blocking of our peace was upon him. In other words, he took, ownership of the things that stress you out. He took ownership of the things that depress you. He took ownership of the things that bring you anguish and bring you the all of the emotional things that do rise up in our lives. Jesus took those blockages and those hindrances. He bought them. Amen. 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 He bought them. It was a redemptive process, and then he exchanged all of the hindrances for peace. We understand that word peace, translating from the original Hebrew, means completeness and wholeness. not just a matter of your environment just being cool, because what we learned that even Jesus in the experience on the boat, there was a storm that was raging, and we know that in Scripture he was in the inside of the boat sleeping. At peace, because he had made a declaration, we're going to the other side. And God is declaring, we learned through Pastor Petrie, God has a divine destination for you. And if you believe that, then those storms that rage in your life and those challenges that come that will make you angry and will frustrate you, will stress you out, will depress you, Jesus says to you, be still. Says to the storm, be still. Says to you, be at peace. And he says to you and I, because he's given us authority, we learned this, given us authority to tread on scorpions and serpents. And now, of course, we can play all day, but I want you to, if you hadn't been here last week, get the CD. We understand that also had spiritual implications, that the scorpions and the serpents are in fact words and an atmosphere and an environment where the enemy is trying to get at you and steal your peace. But he's giving you authority to trample on those words and those things that are said to you that would steal your peace. He's giving you authority. He's giving you authority. He's giving you authority, which means Jesus, he's done his part, and he's sitting back waiting on you and I to do our part.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And we got excited about that. Yay, Jesus. Yay, us. And guess what happened? Let me just keep it real for a moment. The moment that this message began to come out and be expressed from the Lord, things started happening. Immediately. Suddenly. Amen. Maybe not for all of us, but for a good number of us who was like said, yes, Jesus, yes. Immediately. Immediately. Five words. Immediately. I know it's five syllables. Let me do my thing. Things began to speak contrary to what God said, so that I would have to make a decision whether or not I truly believe or I don't. It's not a question of whether God's word is true or not. His word is true. But the issue, and we've been learning this, is the issue is for God, he has placed you and I on planet Earth to recapture dominion, and we walk in that dominion in adverse situations. Not in ourselves, but in the adverse situations, declaring God's word is true despite what this situation is saying. Despite how this thing that has come to me, that has caused me to be stressed, and it's caused me to be angry, and it's caused me to be just to be depressed, all of these things that we indeed experience, I'm there, but wait a minute. The chastisement of my peace was upon Jesus. I can't take that. Can't take ownership of that. It's here, it's real.
Yes, it is.
Somebody know, somebody say it's real. Anybody ever experienced a real situation, real frustrating situation, real angering situation, real situation where, as the scripture Pastor Tracy had on, where you were using words that were not God's words? And you and I, we made the excuse that for this moment, I'm gonna get in my flesh. You can't do that. Flesh, look at your neighbor and say this. Flesh is not optional. All right, so let's get into this, because on today, I asked the question when the situations jumped off. Now, I had the word, I had the knowledge, but now what God is looking for is demonstration. Y'all with me? I have the word. God has confirmed his word. I'm smart, so I understand his word. But now, I got to demonstrate his word. And so on today, if I had a title for this, it would be How to Live in Peace. How to live? How do we actually do this? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting. This is easy. How do I do this? Casting all. Y'all read it with me. Y'all ready? Ready? Read. Cast all your care upon him, for We could go home right now. But I put in a lot of work, so I want to give you a little bit more. We could go home right now. Because how do I live in this peace with what I now know of what Jesus did for me? What I now know is that I don't have the right to take what he paid for, because that's stealing. And now that I know that this was a thing that was done some 2,000 plus years ago, and the things that come at me, the things that the Lord allows through the enemy is his tool that he uses to make sure that I'm staying close to God, that he allows these things to happen as an echo. And someone taught me, it was a good thing, it was my son who said this. He said, you know what, how you cut an echo off? With another sound. And so what God is saying to us, there's an echo of frustration and stress and fear and bitterness and resentment that's coming down and is challenging your peace. But God says substitute it with another sound. And that other sound is the sound of your praise. Oh, my God. My God, my God. So many times when we come into this place, why we are so hard on you in regards to that, because we can sense that something is wrong. We can sense that you're carrying stuff, but Jesus said you're supposed to cast that stuff up on him. It's his that was already paid for, and there's a sound that has infiltrated and has violated your peace. And what God says is how you cut that sound off is with the sound of praise. Now, don't get religious on me. I'm not talking about you just coming to church and singing songs. I'm talking about declaring God's word about what God said about you and what God did for you, about what God has done and what he will do, what he's already established. Substitute, look at your neighbor and say this, substitute the sound. Write that down, that was good. I might need that later on. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. That's so easy. I want y'all to take on this other scripture that makes it easy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. If y'all can bring that on screen. Hallelujah. This is some good stuff. How to live in peace. Because I got some real stuff that's going on. I got real things that are happening. And God, your word is true. And I understand it, but I want to empower, demonstrate it. Scripture says this in Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which you and I now have stewardship over, the peace of God, the peace, the whole, the ability to make you whole, the ability to make you chill, the ability to make you look at situations, circumstances, and say, it's nothing. Y'all remember our dance? It's nothing. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Guard your hearts and minds. What is he talking about? He's talking about your inner man. He's talking about your soulless realm. He's talking about that place where your feelings reside and where you're making decisions about your feelings, about how you're going to live your life because you think that God is not there for you and you lose faith, you lose heart. He's saying, wait a minute, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through who? Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. So in other words, this is about relationship. How do I live in this peace that Jesus has established? I live it, I operate it, I demonstrate it through him. Through my relationship with him. Through my knowledge of who he is to me. I can't live my life in peace through you. You can't live your life in peace through me. I may be going through some real stuff that you don't know about. You may be going through some real stuff that I don't know about. But you know how we do. We come to church and then it looks all good. Haircut nice. Nice clothes. Everybody is, praise the Lord. How you doing? I'm blessed. And not to be facetious, but because many of us are walking in and demonstration of, wait a minute, although I'm in the midst of the storm, I'm going to declare another sound. But I can't be concerned with trying to live my faith through you. Young people, don't get it twisted. You don't get to heaven through your parents' faith. Young adults who grew up in church and you find yourself back, you need to get real about what's happening in your life, because you got to identify, where is my relationship with God? Because I'm going through stuff right now. And I'm trying, I mean, I read the Bible and I prayed. Who are you praying to? Well, I'm praying to God, and God is saying, God who? Who? God who? If you're praying to the God that the world says he's out there sitting on and he's just out there, I'm not that God. I'm a personal God. I'm the God who said through all of the billions of people that are on this planet, I see you. I know you by name. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know you that intricately. I know, look, I'm so bad that even before you were formed, I knew you. And I want you to understand, I want you to pursue that same type of relationship with me, because there are things that I need you to walk in demonstration, so all them little people that you find yourself in the company of who don't know me, they don't get to know you just as a person who goes to church. They don't just know you as a person who goes through the discipline of going to church and you say that you're a Christian. They don't know me like that, because there's a lot of people saying that. But they will know me when they see that you're experiencing some things and you have elevated yourself. And somehow you live while you're here, they see that you're not here. While they see you walking on the earth, you're not functioning like you're on the earth. While you're in the midst of all of the things that other people are in the midst of, you don't seem to be connected to the issues and the problems that everybody else are connected to. You seem to be connected to something else that gives you the ability to surpass what I understand people do. Man, y'all, you seem to function beyond and surpass what we understand is stress and depression. How do you do that? Through Jesus. And I'm not playing no religious games anymore, because I got some real things I'm dealing with on this planet. Those real things, some of it is my fault. Come on now, we got to be honest. Some of the stuff that the mess that I'm in the midst of, I did it. I'm not happy about it, but I acknowledge it, and I take ownership of the responsibility of it was me. It wasn't the devil. The devil didn't make me do it. Some stuff I just decided I was going to do. Then there are things that happen in my life that, as I'm repentant of things, that there are still the consequences of those things, and now I have to make right those situations that are wrong. And the only way that I'm going to successfully do that is to get a new program, a new operating system. I'm saying this now because Pastor Fred is back with us, and I know this is his tech. He's a tech dude. You have this system, and it was operating on a different operating system, and now you have to unplug that system, and you have to plug into this new system. And it's like those of us. This is me. This is my personal testimony. I went from PC to Apple. There are similarities in their function, but then there are things that are different. I shared this on Monday with the men. Me and my wife, we had an opportunity to go to, where did we go? Bermuda? No, it wasn't Bermuda. Yes, you do. You was there. Bahamas. Thank you, baby. We went to the Bahamas, and I rented a motor scooter, because y'all know I like motorcycles. It wasn't a motorcycle, but it was the next best thing. But going to the Bahamas, I realized that I'm in a different land that has different rules of operation when you're on the road. Here in America, we drive on the, help me out, we drive on the right. Okay, y'all, we drive on the right. If you, right, right, amen. We drive on the right, but in Bahamas, they drive on the left. Do you know how uncomfortable it is? After years, listen to what I'm saying, because I'm paralleling right now. After years of driving on the right, when I first experienced that drive on the left, because I have to, this is how it works in this land, that I had to take my time Listen. I had to take my time, and I had to actually physically rehearse to myself. Drive on the left. Drive on the left. Drive on the left. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. I had to rehearse because it was new to me, and I had to do it until I got comfortable with the new way to function and operate in this new land. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that you hear a good word about peace and what have you, but listen, you've been operating uncomfortable in stress. You've been comfortable when you've gone through things that hit up a whole bunch of people and tell them to pray for you, but you don't really want them to pray for you. You just want them to know, I'm going through. Glory to God. You've grown comfortable there are certain people who, here's my word for today, commiserate with you. Because they're going through something and y'all go back and forth. And my problem is, oh, girl, I know exactly what you mean because I'm da-da-da-da. And you're like, oh, well, I got one better for you. Da, 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 da. Let's pray. You've grown used to coming to church. Listen, you've grown used to coming to church and not expecting God to actually deal with your situation and you grow. Listen, y'all, let's keep it real. We're comfortable because we feel like when we come to church is the place where you cast all your care. And so what I've done is I've adopted this text of scripture to say, well, as long as I keep having cares, then I have a reason to go to church. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying in our practices, we've grown so accustomed to doing something that as God is revealing to us, wait a minute. In this land, this is actually how it works. And what I mean by casting your care, what I'm saying is that as these things are coming to you and they're declaring that they're yours, I'm saying give them to me because they're actually mine. Amen. So as they're coming, you're kind of bypassing. You're just letting it, casting. It's here, catching it, casting. Here, it's coming. Here, yours. Nope, not mine. Casting. Oh, here's another. Oh, here, anger. Casting. Because some of us hold on to anger a little bit longer. We do. We're keeping it real. Frustration and resentment and bitterness. Oh. And that's when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you. That don't belong to you. That's not yours. Pastors start saying stuff. People who you respect in the church start saying stuff, and you get mad. Because we don't understand. This problem is a little bit different from everything else. God didn't qualify what you cast. He said, casting. My God, y'all hearing what I'm saying? All of it. All your cares. Yes, you have cares. We have concerns. We have things that confront us. We have these things that come at us, and it puts pressure. We learned this last. It puts pressure on us to have to make a decision. Do we keep it or do we cast it? And it's easy to cast, but I want to show you something. I want to show you something that's going to hurt your feelings, because it hurt mine. But we have to go back. 1 Peter chapter, let's bring that up, and let's go to verse 6. Because I want to show you something. You don't start a sentence with casting your care. That's a continual thought from something. So let's go back. Verse 6. Can we bring it up quickly, please? Yes. Yeah. I love you guys. It's all good. Therefore, okay, that's a good start to a sentence. No, let's go back. It's cute, but that's not how you start a sentence. Can we go back? Glory to God. We're going to get there. I know y'all in your Bible. All right. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Okay, I'm just going to say something about that. It starts out with younger people, be submissive to your elders. But then he says, all of you, old elders and youngers, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, even though it's not up. Come on, y'all. Come on, work with me quickly. Resist the proud, but gives verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the that in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares. So there's something that's going on here that we need to catch if we're going to cast. Y'all ready? We need to understand that in this relationship with Jesus Christ, in whom this peace that we are to walk in and demonstrate, if it's going to happen, as we're dealing with the frustrations, as we're dealing with all of the anguish and things that Jesus has already taken care of and died for, we have to take this posture of humility. And we have to take this posture of relinquishing our pride. Submitting ourselves to one another, submitting ourselves to God, because he resists the proud. Well, now, how does this relate to this issue of the depression and the stress and the anger and the resentment? What it is that he's calling us to cast this stuff, and what happens is, as I demonstrated, some of the things we stop and we hold on to. I described it in one of the in our earlier message as us being the ones who just, you know, hey, here I am and I'm taking it from God. In other words, I'm stealing. But more importantly, the scripture is saying what you're really doing is you're saying you're going to be God dealing with that particular area of your life. What you're saying is that when you're angry about a situation and you're holding on to that anger, when you're depressed about a situation and you're holding on to that depression, when you're frustrated with a person and you're holding on to that frustration, when you're bitter about a particular situation, you're holding on to that bitterness. When you're just straight in disobedience because you just don't want to do a particular thing, what God is saying, you're walking in pride. Well, just let me be angry. When you do that as a child of God, you are walking in pride. One of the most deceptive tools that the enemy uses when it comes to your emotions is to say that, well, you have a right to be angry. You have a right to be upset. Look what they did to you. Wait a minute. Well, if we're doing our homework, what they did to you and how it made you feel, Jesus already bore a stripe on his body for that. He died for what you feel and who caused what you feel. And if he did that and you believe this, if he did it, he did, and you believe it, then that means that you have to operate in a different land when the echo comes back to you. You're going to have to figure out and be repetitive, because maybe this is a new thing for you, but I love him, but I love her. They frustrate me, but that doesn't matter. I can't stay with this frustration. I have to cast it, because if I keep it, then I'm saying I'm God. God, you're not bigger than this. I got it. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. The emotional things that you hold on to, God is saying, you have to let it go. It's not yours. It's not yours to deal with. You're not strong enough. You're not built to hold on. And listen to me, brothers and sisters, many of us may have even experienced it. We know that we're not strong enough, because then what the world does, and they're understanding how you deal with your depression, how you deal with your stress, pop a pill, pop a pill, pop a pill. Pop a pill. Oh my. And you do all of that and you still don't feel right. You do that and you're feeling even worse about the situation, the circumstance. You're feeling even worse about your relationship with God. And what you begin to do, because now you're not functioning the way that God has called you to function and created you to function. Now you start having these negative thoughts about God and his goodness to you. Not happy with this relationship. I'm not happy with the way it's going. I'm not happy with my job. I'm not happy with the way people treat me. And I'm angry and I'm upset and I'm hurt. And I've been praying to you, God, and you've not answered my prayer. I still believe in you. But I just believe that in this situation and circumstances, you can't handle this one. So I got it. And how I handle it, I'm just mad. I'm just upset. Until you tell me something, God, I'm just going to be this way, because it's not right. It's not fair. And you know it's not right. You know it's not fair. I didn't do anything to deserve this. I didn't do anything for this thing to happen, and it happened. And I don't understand why you let it happen. What you're doing is you're walking and talking in pride. Ow. Listen, man. Keep it. Let's keep it real. I'm with you. You sit there and you realize, man, how awesome God is that he doesn't leave any rug unturned. I didn't even say that right. I don't know what that means, but He doesn't leave anything to chance. He doesn't leave anything just okay, well, I do all of that, but I'm leaving that because your circumstance, your situation is a little bit different. That the way it happened to you, it's a little bit. No, he said, cast all. But how you do that is you're going to have to get to a place in your life, not to say that God, I can't handle it. He already knows you can't handle it, but to recognize not only do I not want to handle it, I can't handle it, but I don't have to handle it. I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to walk in this. I am going to be in this situation all that God has called me to be, and all of this anger and all of this frustration, all of this stress and all of this depression, God is not mine, it's yours. You can have it. You can have it. And so when you come into the house of the Lord, and when you coming to worship, I'm like, I gotta say this, we family, we church. I don't understand how y'all come in late with all of the things that you experience. You've got to give God praise. You've got to exchange those sounds that you've heard with God, the sound of God, the sound of praise, the sound of victory. You've got to give him that. Why? Because you've been casting, you've been working. We've been working. Have you not been working? I've been working. Casting. Man, this is, some of that stuff is heavy and it's coming. I'm like, God with me. God through me. And when I come into the house, it's the day of rest. Y'all didn't catch that. The day where I rest from all of my labor. I come in here and now I say, God, thank you. Thank you. There are not words that I can express to you how thankful I am that you gave me the authority and the ability to get and break through. Pride. When you're angry, when you're upset, and you're justified in that. God is saying, no, it don't belong to you. You can't keep that. When you decide to keep that, what you're doing is you're re-exchanging. I exchanged that pain and that suffering and that depression for peace. You got peace now, but you got to learn how to live in it. I don't allow such situations and circumstances either to have had happen or happening for you to now learn to operate, learn to speak in repetition what I said about it instead of what is being said about it. Repeat it until you're comfortable. Repeat it until you get it. Repeat it until you get it. We were only there a day. Towards the end of the day, I was a little more comfortable with the fact that I'm not in America. I was a little more comfortable with driving on the left. If I had stayed a couple of more days, I'd have been a lot more familiar because it was an experience that I was in. My Lord. Okay, here we go. I want you to watch this now. God, I've been going through this for so long. How come? I prayed to you, I've said this to you, I've done this, I've done it, and it just hasn't changed. My child, it's not me who has decided for you to stay there. Problem is, you have not grown comfortable with how I do things. And so until you get comfortable with how I do things, you will... Yeah, listen, y'all, this is in the Bible. The children of Israel walked for 40 years for an 11-day trip because they refused to transform their mind about who was God. Jesus. They refused, and so they had to keep going around that saying. Now somebody, I know if I was there, I'd have been like, I know that twig. What? Something's not right here. On year 39, I'm like, oh, I know he got us walking in the sand. What is going on, man? You feel like that sometimes? In certain situations and circumstances, like, why am I still here? I'm preaching good today, baby. James 1, James chapter 1, verse 6. We're coming for our first landing, Miss Cheryl. James chapter 1. Did I give y'all the scripture? Not y'all. Them. Turn to James chapter 1. We're going to start in the 6th verse. Y'all with me? Did we get it, y'all? There it is. For let not the man suppose. Well, go, yeah, I want 6, y'all. Go back to 6. Because that's, we're continuing thinking. Amen. Thank you, guys. Love you, guys. Let's go back. We got to go back. This is good stuff, man. Here we go. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. Praise the Lord. Click, click, click. Let's go, y'all. Come on. First landing. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. Seeking wisdom with this, Lord. For let not that man suppose that he will receive. Anything from the Lord. Now, the start of this says that if any man lacks wisdom, in other words, I have knowledge of God's word, and I have an understanding of what he means by what he said, and now in order for me to do it, demonstrate it, I need to know how to do it. Wisdom is knowledge applied. So now I know this stuff, but now I got to apply it. I got to use it. And he says, if you lack wisdom in terms of how do I deal with this issue of my emotions, Lord, because there's some stuff that has just been, it's almost like it's ingrounded in me. The Bible says, ask God. If you lack wisdom in this area, ask God, who gives he gives it freely, and he says, look, I'm not even mad at you that you've been walking this way for so long. I'm not tripping over the fact that you said that you were going to do right and you messed up. You said you was going to do, I'm not even tripping off of that. But when you ask me, don't play with me. Let's keep it real. When you ask me, don't play with me. When you ask me to help you with this area, when I give you an instruction on how to do it, you need to do it. He says, ask in faith with no doubting. That the doubting is the issue of when God gives it to you, then you wait a week or two before you start loving your husband and loving your wife like you should, or whatever the instruction that he gives you on how to deal with this issue of the stress and the frustration and the anger and the bitterness and the anguish and all of the things that he handled. Now, you know I handled it, but now I'm giving you an opportunity to demonstrate by faith what I've given you. Do it. Look at your neighbor. If it's your husband or wife and you really want to talk to them, look at somebody else. And just say to them, do it. Do it. Because if you do this in faith, you're like a man. Don't let that man think that he's going to get this from God, because receive anything from God. We are asking for wisdom in this one particular area, but if you doubt me in this area, you're going to doubt me in everything else. So stop asking me, don't ask me for anything until you get done with this one thing that I said you must do. Do that. And when you do it, you'll see that I'm faithful to my word. You'll see that I'm God. And if you can trust me with this one area that was a major area in your life, then you'll know you can trust me in this other area. Some of y'all struggling with finances, and God is giving you clear instruction. You need to budget. You need to do this. And you're like, yes, Lord. Oh, you start talking that stuff that is supposed to be tongues and it ain't tongues, but you just go off. Yeah, I said it. I said it because you don't. If you're not obedient to God, how can you dare say the Spirit of God is over you? Okay, sidebar. But you say yes to God in public, but in private, you're still doing your own thing. Yes, Lord, I forgive him, but he's going to have to do A, B, C, and D, and then I will, and E and F, and H and I, and J if he don't act right. I'm saying, and whatever, all of us, whatever, we come with these qualifications on how we're going to operate in faith. God, I will if you. And God says, no. If you ask, I give it to you. Once I give it to you, in faith, you have to do it. It don't matter what it looks like. God, I've been praying and I asked, Lord, for you to take that taste of the alcohol and the taste from this and that from him. And I prayed and I've been praying. Lord, I doused him with oil and I almost lit him up with flame, but I didn't. I didn't, Lord. I didn't. I didn't. Because you told me not to. But I prayed. God, I prayed. I prayed. And Lord, it seemed to have gotten worse. But he said, I've given you wisdom. Walk in wisdom in this area of your feelings and emotions and trust me to deal with him. Trust me to deal with her. Trust me. If you trust me, what happens when you trust someone? I'm not worried that when you say something that you're not going to do it. So I move on to the next thing because you said you were going to do something. And you've proven to me. Now this is God. You've proven to me that you keep your word. We have a bad tendency to say that we trust God. He's proven himself. He's proven himself. And yet we act like he ain't proven himself. That's a problem. That's pride. We have to get rid of that. We have to deal with that. We have to gain and garnish now. God's given us information and we get understanding. Now we want to demonstrate it. And he allows these situations and these circumstances to be so that we'll function in dominion as kingdom people, that will function in that area and that arena where it looks like we're on planet Earth, but we don't act like we're on planet Earth. It looks like we look like everyone else, but then when we begin to speak the oracles of God, and that's a big word that basically means God has dispensed to me a wisdom that surpasses the way normal people do this. Ooh, y'all feeling me? An oracle of God. Ooh. No, y'all. It's that God has dispensed a wisdom to you to demonstrate, and you choose, I choose. Let not your heart be troubled. I choose for my heart not to be troubled. But then in replace of the trouble I receive from him joy and peace. Count it all joy when you go through. How can I do that? Well, because I have a knowledge of how God operates in situations like this. And and he has a track record with me in my life because Lord knows I'm supposed to be here right now doing what I'm doing. So not only is he giving me something about something I haven't seen yet, but I have the track record of what he's done in times past when things were out of control. So right now, I'm cool. And stuff is going to come, and I'm going to put in some work. But you know what? The scripture tells us the joy is... Come on, y'all preaching to me now. The joy of the Lord, that aspect of walking in his joy, that is not about being happy, but it's about being confident, a.k.a. faith. It's about being confident that God is who he says he is, and God will do what he said he would do. But I don't see it. I don't see it. Get to a place of maturity in your life where you see it, even though they don't see it. You may not be there yet. You may be in this place. Well, I don't see it yet, but I know who God is. And after a while, when you begin to put this into practice, and you don't have to find yourself repeating it because now you live there. You know, after a while, if I would have stayed in the Bahamas, eventually it would have been like, you know, okay, I'm here. I live here. I'm just doing what the people in this land, this is what they do. I do it too. You won't know that I'm different from anybody else because I'm following through with the laws of the land and how it operates. See, our problem as believers is that we look around, we don't see us sometimes. Now, people who say that they are believers, but where's the believing at? All right, second landing. This is, God help me. Luke chapter 21, second landing, which is probably my final landing, looking at my clock. Y'all good? Are y'all good? Y'all ready for me to be done? Because this is good. This is, right now, this is, This is the meat. This is the thing that you and I, we don't want to do this because this is how God looks at it. And this is crazy, y'all. Okay, y'all, are we there? Luke 21? Okay, just turn to Luke 21, verse 34. We're going to read this while they find it. It says this, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that the day come on you in expectancy." Unexpectedly, yeah, I got it right here. Unexpectedly, that the day... Yeah, okay, you guys are just moving quickly here. Go back, y'all. Okay, thank you guys. "But take heed to yourselves." Who? Pay attention to where you are in your life right now. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly. You're just so caught up with your pain and your suffering or whatever. The things are happening around you and you're not ready for it. You are by no means prepared for it. I just want to stay in the bed. Life is happening around you, and there are people that God wants you to talk to, and there are people that God wants you to touch, and there are people that God wants you to pray for. But all the while you're walking in pride. Every moment you lay in that bed feeling bad about yourself, you're walking in pride. You're living in pride. And God is, and he's looking at you and he's saying, "Get up! Don't you know who you are? Get up!" Why this scripture? This scripture, when you're looking at this word, "Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down." That weighed down is the same verb that we've been dealing with this whole issue of what Jesus died for when it came to the sorrow and the grief. All of the sorrow and the grief that gets translated is that same, it's that same connected verb, and it speaks about the aspect of your emotions. Take heed to yourself that you, lest your hearts be dealing with emotions and pain and suffering and all of that with carousing. And now dealing with this word carousing, it's weird how God does this. He says that carousing, this attitude in partying, where you want to party and you want to lose yourself in the party. Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand. Just wink at me real quick. Anybody ever been to a party where you like, I I'm here and I'm not gonna deal with none of this stuff. I'm gonna get as high. I'm saying he references this. Take heed to yourself that you're so weighed down with the stresses and the pain and the frustration that you find yourself in this carousing spirit, that this attitude. That it's a spirit. Take heed to yourselves that these issues will bring you to a place where you feel like, I just want to let it go. I just want to, you know, for today, I ain't a Christian. This is real stuff here. Because he likens it, this word carousing, it's to be silly. It's to be giddy. It's to be stupid, silly. Oh my. I hope y'all following what I'm saying. It is to bring yourself to a point where this stuff weighs you down so much that you want to get to a place where I just want to have a good time. I want to forget about everything. I just want to have a good time, so much so that I just throw up my guts. And we know some people like that. We know some people like that, and we also know, and we're familiar with the pain that they're carrying around, that they have to do that. Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, getting to a place of silliness, like being drunk, giddiness. Now, you're not in your right mind, and you're desiring that to be able to, y'all know what it is, you know, to self-medicate from this pain. Drunkenness. This word and the connotation, the drunkenness is to the point where you pass out. To a point where you don't even remember. What did you do, man? We was at the party. We was having a good time. What did you? I mean, I don't remember nothing. And we think that's funny. It's not funny, because God says that you, what you're really doing is you're trying to forget something. You're trying to let go of something. You're trying to get released from a pain or hurt or frustration or something that you've been going through, and you're now trying to hide it behind your giddiness. You're trying to hide behind your carousing. You're trying to hide behind the drunkenness. But guess what? When you sober up, she's still going to be right there. You may not be with her, but she's going to be right there in your ear. And so what do? This wasn't strong enough. Give me that and that. Because I want to forget. I want to feel good. I want to have peace. Come on, y'all. This is this whole issue of having a good time and being, because I want peace. I don't want to have to deal with none of this stuff. And God is saying, take heed to yourself that you're not weighed down. It's the issue of these things weighing you down that got you pursuing something that you're saying will help you forget. But that's not me. That's the world. The carousing, the drunkenness, to the point of passing out, and the cares of this life. The cares meaning the things that fracture you, that break you, that separate and divide you from healthy relationships with people. And if you can't have a healthy relationship with people who you see, you most certainly can't have a healthy relationship with God whom you can't see. Can't do it. You're talking about keeping it real and being transparent about what we're doing here. We started out by saying this is all about relationship. And so at the end of the day, you and I, we're going to have to buy with it, because it's not their fault who hurt you. It's not their fault who did that to you. It's not them. It's not them. It's you. It's you. If you allow the cares of this world to weigh you down, you're no better than a drunk. You're no better than a person trying to self-medicate. It's not just alcohol now. Y'all know in this world, they got super drugs. Why do people take drugs? And we can talk about all of the woes of the atmosphere, of the environments that they live in, the accessibility. We can talk about all of that. But the reality of it is that people take drugs, drink alcohol, do these things that seem so far left, introduce things into their bodies, find themselves sleeping with people. They're doing all of this because they want peace and want to be happy. God says the only way that you really are going to be happy, and more importantly, because I'm not concerned about your happiness more than I'm concerned about your peace, the way that you're really going to have peace and be whole and be satisfied with who you are and where you are in your life, the only way that's going to happen is if you connect with me. Anything else is a substitute. And y'all know substitutes. If you watch basketball, we hate it when the subs come in, because they just don't quite get it like the star players do. Y'all with me? The subs, it's like, it's cool, man, but you're not that good. And God is saying the subs that you've introduced into your life that's supposed to replace me, they're not that good. They're not that good. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Okay. Somebody's in here. As I spoke about that last subject matter, the substitutions, the issues of your feelings, your emotions, the fact that God has, in fact, dealt with them in a very real way. The fact that when you hold on to whatever you hold on to, from things as light as people at the church, they talking about me, you hold on to it so you don't come to church, to the more deeper things in your relationships, husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, sons, daughters. God is saying, all of this stuff that you all have been holding on to, I've dealt with it. And I'm crying out to my people who I have chosen and who call me by name. I'm saying to you now, come and be healed. Come and be healed. Because the fact of the matter is, I've provided for you peace. You've been operating in this new land, and you've been, quote, breaking the law. And when you break the law, you're imprisoned. You're in bondage until you get it right. As a child of God who's confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have to begin to conduct your life by the laws of the land that I live in. And the laws that I live in are, in fact, my instruction to you on how to be at peace with yourself, and at peace with the people who may have hurt you, and at peace with the pains and anguish that lead you to take things that really is not good for you. It's just a substitute for what you're really seeking, and that is a relationship with me. So let's keep it real. God's saying, can we keep it real right now? All over the building. If God has been dealing with you, just in this moment, I just felt like in this moment when I spoke about the aspect of substitutes for your peace, your being able to just be at peace with yourself and people, I felt in my spirit that there were just some of you are saying, that's me. And I need to get that right with God. I don't care at whatever status that you feel like you are in life, in this church, if you feel, you know, well, as a leader, I should be better off. I can't. That's not relevant right now. Is there anything that you consider not to make the move for your life to be better? That's pride, my brothers and sisters. And you will stay stuck. You will stay in bondage, not because God wants you there, but because you chose that. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm speaking to believers first and foremost, and then for the person in here today who, I mean, for real, you don't know who God is. You don't have a relationship with God because you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know what he did for you, but you're just feeling like there needs to be a change that happens in my life. Not because per se there's a whole bunch of bad things that are happening, but just simply because I just sense that there's got to be more to life than just what I'm doing. That's you. It's because God has lined you up to reveal to you a greater purpose and destination for you. Whoever it is, be it the person who's been just allowing themselves to be weighed down so much so. I mean, you know what God's word has said, but you lacked wisdom. And now it's time to ask him. If that's you, would you please stand up? Come out your seat, come down here to the platform.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org. For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community